Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as always, I have a wonderful guest today, and her name is Lexi Marmon. She is an actress you may well know if you were to see her on the screen. And I'm going to go right to you.
Thank you.
And so talk a little bit about you and your life, and maybe just how did you become an actress? When did you first know? Did your parents encourage it? What special roads did you have to travel? Because I know it's not an easy thing to be successful at.
It's very difficult.
You go.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, thank you so much for having me. This is great. I've always wanted to be, I've always wanted to do something like this.
I'm so happy.
Is awesome.
Okay.
Hi guys. And, I have to say that it's been very fortunate. My career has been very fortunate. I do believe though that because I have something different, I am deaf. And I do believe that that kind of has opened doors for me, believe it or not.
I was wondering about that, because if you have very distinctive physical characteristics or anything in particular that lets you understand another level of living, does that make it actually advantageous sometimes?
I believe it does.
How?
Because you stand out.
That's what I'm wondering.
You stand out. Yes. And people, you know, when you go to auditions.
Well, you're also beautiful looking. See, we need a television moment. But people know what you look like.
My gosh. Thank you so much.
But go ahead. So how long have you been deaf? Is that from birth or later?
I was born. Right when I was born, I had a fever. And the doctors gave me a medicine called gentamicin, and the medicine had saved a lot of babies' lives, but the dosage they gave me was enough to give to an elephant.
Oh my goodness.
It was really strong. But you know what though? I believe that I was meant to take this path in my life, and I don't have any anger towards it. In fact, I was thinking, what would I say if I saw the doctor today?
That would be a really good love letter.
But yeah, you know, and I just feel like that this was the path I was meant to take. I never would have met my husband. I never would have met all these wonderful people in my life.
How did you meet your husband?
I met him actually at a friend's. I went to his sister's wedding, and I went with a friend of his. So I was like, I don't know anybody here, but you know, he was like, hey, come with me. So I went with him, and I saw my husband walking down the aisle, and I just knew. I know it sounds so cliche.
No.
But I just knew. It was almost like a best friend I hadn't seen in years.
Oh.
And have you ever seen the movie Somewhere in Time?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a moment where Jane Seymour turns, and she sees Christopher Reeve, and she says, is it you? It's just so cliche.
You're going to have to talk the whole time, because I'm now out of commission because I've got chills and I'm going to cry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So it's definitely a love story. He's amazing. We actually have our proposal on YouTube.
Oh.
And how you proposed to me.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
For everyone to see so we can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you look up Justin Proposes to Lexi, you'll see it. Yeah, it's great. He basically sings and signs to me and surprises me in a whole theater.
So you say he signs to you?
Yes.
Oh, so you know, you grew up knowing how to sign also?
I did not, actually. I learned in high school.
Really?
Yeah, my parents kind of watched me to see what I wanted to do, and I wanted to talk.
How nice.
So they just let me talk, and then I learned sign language in high school because I was missing information. Teachers would turn around, and I wouldn't quite understand. Then that's when I learned sign language. The deaf community really
loved me. So that's why you're so flawless at lip reading.
Oh, yeah,
because
probably.
That's what all you did for the...
Maybe, yeah. I think it's also when one person's sense is missing, the other senses make up for it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times where I can feel like if somebody's upset, I'm very empathetic.
Sure.
I guess that's kind of another blessing.
And you would be, even if you were a perfectly hearing person, you would still empathy.
Yeah. Well, my mom was so amazing.
Okay.
So that's a separate thing. Yeah, I think so. It's just kind of an extra icing on the top.
At what point did you know you wanted to act? And what made you think you could?
Oh, good. Good question. When I was a little girl, I used to really bug my parents. I would be like, Mom, Dad, watch me. I would put on shows in the neighborhood. Our garage was not a garage. It was a set. I used to open up the garage door, and we'd have different plays, and I would get all the neighborhood kids involved, and I would throw fists like a real director. I'd be mad if the kid wouldn't do something right, and I just knew it was in my blood. It's in my family. We are actually related to the Barrymores. My mom's side of the family is related to the Barrymores.
So there's always the genetic gift.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think, you know, if you grow up around it. And, you know.
Did just, you grow up knowing them, or you just knew that?
I did not, unfortunately. It's that kind of fall down the line. But I did grow up with my mom and dad really exposing me to theater and music a lot when I was young, believe it or not.
What was their work?
They actually did not get involved with the entertainment industry. They should have. You know, they were the working parents in the 70s and 80s, and they had to just devote their lives to, you know, raising a family. But I do believe that they were meant for jobs in the entertainment industry. And that kind of drives me because I see them and I realize, you know what, if you've got the talent, you've got to do it. You've got to just go out there and just do it. And they really have encouraged me. My mom used to be on phones with casting directors and agents.
So then she did make a contribution to the theater community, and that contribution is you.
Oh.
Right?
Probably, really. Okay. Yeah. She was like my manager. She was just very much like, you can do this. You know, don't let what you can't do stop you from what you can do.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Can we just say that again?
Don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do.
Okay. That is just perfect and worth repeating often. And I will. Yeah. And I give you credit for it.
Oh, thank you.
What's your mother's name?
Elaine. She spelled it with a Y. And we're actually expecting a little girl in June. It's our first baby. We're so excited. And we're going to name her after my mom. She passed away recently, about 2 years ago, to a disease called FTD.
What is that?
It's a frontal lobe temporal degeneration. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But it's basically a thing that they're discovering right now where the brain is actually shrinking.
Oh,
and a lot of people are starting to realize that it's not just dementia or Alzheimer's.
Oh, good.
If the brain is shrinking.
Because there's so many kinds of losing touch as we get older.
Yes.
And yes, not to lump. So does that mean that, I'm just wondering how that causes death. Does that mean because the area that deals with breathing and heartbeat and that also
shrinks? Yeah, so basically it's kind of like a car. If you shut off the electrical engine of the car, the body's still there, but they can't function on themselves. And she fought it for about 7 years. And most people, you know, it's sooner. But, again, I know this is kind of a touchy subject, but I would almost rather have had her pass away quicker in like a car accident or something instead of seeing what she went through for 7 years.
Well, you know, I think that's a longstanding issue.
Yeah.
Which is better?
Mm-hmm.
Something you're prepared for and you've had time to make a really complete relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, you always still want more.
Mm-hmm.
But with a sudden, with the car accident,
But I didn't get to say,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I just, you know, I don't think you're ever ready.
I really don't. No.
No, you're never ready. No. As long as you try to prepare yourself, you're never ready. And I was just mentioning this to you. The most amazing thing that I've come across has been letters. And there's a book. I actually read this at the funeral. There's a book that she wrote. It was a baby shower book.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to my daughter, and she wrote some things, and she said, if I were to die tomorrow, I know that I would have truly lived because I was born. And I read that at the funeral, and it was just like, wow. I mean, pictures are great, but they're not, they're just two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it, you can't touch it, you know? And
can, but I'm going to, let's talk about that for a
minute.
Because this is really, I think it's important to me.
Oh yeah.
And I can see that it is to you because before you said, you know, the pictures were great and there was something else.
Videos.
Oh,
great too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But when you saw the letters.
Letters.
Okay. It's because I believe, first of all, technology changes. Now, you know that you can't, you're probably too young even to know what the Betamax things were. You can't play your Betamax movies.
Okay. I think I've seen that. My dad was the photographer.
Right, you're looking a little blaze, because I know that you were born after this. Yes.
Oh, no, that's so funny.
But you can't play your floppy disks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are trash. You can throw those away.
Right.
You can't. This industry changes so quickly that what you think you have forever on a video, you don't. They corrode.
Mm-hmm.
And photographs are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they last longer, but there's something that isn't in the photograph.
Yes.
And I think what it is in a letter, you tell me if you agree.
Okay.
When you get a letter, you get something that your mother has written in her own handwriting. You're touching something that has felt the touch of her hand.
Yeah.
It's like holding hands across distance and time.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And nobody has your handwriting. Everybody's got Lucida Bright on the computer. But nobody has your handwriting.
It's nice to see the indentation, too.
Yeah, oh,
like,
good
the actual
for you.
Indentation, you yes. feel that. It's like, I believe I'm a very strong believer in energy and stuff, too. So when you have somebody, when you see somebody's handwriting
yes.
and the indentation in the paper, it's almost like you can kind of feel.
Okay, so, yeah. and that's one of the things that handwriting analysts look at when they're analyzing a handwriting, because that is like a fingerprint.
It is.
Yes,
it really
okay.
is.
Okay. So yeah. tell me what your first job was in acting.
Okay, so my first job in acting was, I did a Disney commercial. I was a little girl.
Now, how did you get chosen for that? Did your mother arrange?
Actually, you know what? She kind of did. I was, I went to the park, and I was just walking around, and I saw they were filming something, and me being the ham that I was, I know I'm in for it come June. I know that me and my husband
yes,
are both
yes.
in for it. If they're anything like how we were with kids, you know, we're in for it. But I saw they were filming something, and I jumped in front of it.
Oh, good.
And I just, like, smiled, and I was like, ah.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, the director started chasing me down. And, of course, I couldn't hear, so I didn't know. Like, oh, my gosh,
oh,
so I'm in trouble.
Behind, you don't know.
Yeah.
That, uh-huh.
I was like, I'm in trouble. So I ruined the shot. I'm in trouble. I was, like, you know, 5 or 6 years old. And so I ran behind my mom, and the director went up to my mom and said, is that your kid?
Uh-huh.
My mom was like, yeah, thinking, what'd she do, you know? And he goes, we want her
okay.
in our commercial.
Okay.
So that was how I first got started. And after that, I did a lot of other commercials, and then I did theater, a lot of theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really strengthens you as an actor, is doing theater, because you learn how to listen, believe it or not. Like, I believe a lot of deaf people are amazing actors because they know how to listen. You don't just listen with your ears. You listen with your eyes. And a lot of actors are so focused, I think, on their lines and what they're supposed to say, when really acting is reacting. So if you're listening,
yes.
then it's natural. It's
yes.
organic.
Yes.
So
I think,
you know,
about that sometimes when I see really fine actors, and I'm amazed at how well they have, I mean, you can call it listened, but how well they understand what is going on in the character.
Oh,
and
sure.
and for every second, you can't lose that, really, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them. Well, what helps me is I'll create a backstory. If I have a character, I completely come up with what elementary school do they go
mm-hmm.
to, or, you know, who was their best friend when they were young. How did they get this way? How did they get that way? You know, there's a kind of a big topic right now in the deaf community where we are a little frustrated, I would say, because we're seeing a lot of directors in Hollywood and casting directors pick hearing people to play deaf roles. And it's a big, huge topic right now. And it's unfortunate because we do have a lot of amazing, talented deaf actors, even actors with disabilities out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like, if you want something real and organic and authentic,
yes,
give them a chance,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And so it's kind of we're hoping to see a big
but
change.
But so you're talking about deaf actors playing deaf people,
deaf characters,
but then deaf actors can play anybody,
of course, for sure.
So,
but
yeah.
it's hard to see a hearing person.
Oh, you want to see it, just you don't want to see giving it away
exactly.
to somebody else.
Well, because it's
yeah.
hard if you're not part of a deaf community. It's almost impossible for you to completely understand the language and for you to understand the deaf culture, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. So it doesn't come across as
oh,
real.
Sure. So then that's part of, again, understanding who your character
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
And you know the backstory then
mm-hmm.
halfway there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so talk a little bit more
mm-hmm.
about what you do and what you want to do besides raise this baby. So,
oh,
yeah.
yeah. Well, actually, I do a lot of things. I guess you can say I'm a well-rounded person in Hollywood. I do a lot of things. I work at Universal Studios. I was the tour guide
oh,
at
nice.
Universal. And it was so much fun. I loved it because you get to be on the back lot and
mm-hmm.
you get to see everything. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And people ask me, how can you do that? You're deaf. How can you be a tour guide?
What's the issue, though?
The issue is that I wouldn't be able to hear the emergency cord being pulled, but they have a light.
Somebody would surely tell you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, we work with
yeah.
great drivers and
yeah.
great people, and they would just let me know. But a lot of people are like, oh, don't people know that, you know, you're deaf? And
mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? Everybody on the microphone sounds funny anyway. Everybody sounds funny anyway, so you can't really tell.
Yes.
It's when they get
yeah.
off the tram and they ask me a question, I get the, where are you from?
Oh,
are you from France?
Okay.
You know, people think I'm from
question,
another country.
You just touched on something that is really, I didn't think of before, and
of
thank
course,
you for
yeah.
every minute is a learning experience. When, you know, that you sound funny, you don't, and you're, How do you learn to speak beautifully and so well when you can't hear as a child?
You know, I had amazing teachers. I really did. Instead of going out for recess, I would stay in
and do what?
And speech lessons. Oh. They would actually have a computer, and they would have the computer talk, and I would see the line of what the computer was saying, and then I had to take the microphone and I had to match it and imitate
how
it.
Clever.
Things like that. It was amazing. I'm very fortunate. I really am. I'm very fortunate. But also, my mom's Italian, so she was always loud and vibracious and stuff. So I definitely.
But she was always loud, but that wouldn't matter. Now you were talking about two different kinds of deaf: one clarity and one
One clarity, one loudness. For me, mine is clarity. Everything sounds like Charlie Brown to me. You know, like the wah 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 wah. You know, Charlie Brown.
No,
so it's kind of like the clarity, and the lip reading skill is. I think it's just, you know, a God-given skill, but I've actually, funny situations about that. My mom would make me watch, like, you know, the O.J. Simpson case or something and kind of read people's lips.
You can do that on television.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Super Bowl recently. Mm-hmm. I was watching it with my husband and I was reading what the coaches were saying. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is awesome, you know?
Really?
When I was a little girl, I wanted to fit in the popular group at school so bad. So I would tell them, you know, if you let me in your clique, I can read everybody's lips on the playground and tell you what they're saying about you.
Yes.
Yeah, so, again, I think it's just something that was self-taught.
Did you have good friends growing up?
I did. Yeah. I did. Neighborhood friends. You know, I actually grew up with a lot of boys. I was the tomboy in the neighborhood. And they really stepped up for me, and they were there for me. So I was very fortunate to grow up in a good neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And so what's next?
What's next?
Yes, well, I know the baby is next.
Yes, the baby's next. I've actually put things on hiatus at the moment, you know, just to kind of, you know, focus on
getting
things
ready. You're feeling good. I'm feeling good.
No, actually, this has been an amazing experience. I feel so bad because a lot of my friends are going through tough times, being pregnant, they're throwing up. And I'm like, I feel great. I feel amazing. I told my husband, I said, if I'm always feeling like this, keep them coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I hear sometimes from women that this is the best I've felt. And it's all hormonal one way or the other.
It is. Yeah. I just feel it's amazing. I just wish my mom was around because there's so many questions I would ask her. Like, did you feel this? Did you feel that? But I know it's really funny. I feel like the universe has a way of replacing things that are missing in your life. I have a wonderful, amazing mother-in-law.
Oh, good.
And yeah, the family is amazing. And I have, you know, these women that just come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. And, you know, they become friends. And it's almost like my mom or the universe or God is giving me those people to fill with missing.
So I can see, obviously, how much you loved your mother and still do. Yeah. That should never be past tense.
Of course not.
I don't know why people do that when somebody's passed away.
I know.
It's, you know, I loved my mother, obviously.
You still do. Right. That's true.
Will you, and you're naming your baby after her.
We are.
How will you make sure that your daughter feels the presence of your mother?
You know, I talked to a friend of mine who lost her mom, too, and she has a daughter. And she said, you need to tell her stories.
Yes.
Tell her stories. You need to show her pictures. Show her videos. My dad blew up a baby picture of my mom, and I have it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, in the room already. And it's like, you need to tell her that I think this person is still living. You know, this is the story.
I have a thought. Okay, so I'm going to ask you about now.
Oh, of course.
Who gets your love letter today? But, you know, that's the kind of question that if I ask you, I know it's going to be, like you've said, so many people.
Oh, for sure.
I have kind of a homework assignment, if you feel like it.
Of course.
And I feel very comfortable giving actors this kind of homework, because so much of your life is homework assignments.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to understand characters. You've got to memorize lines. You've got
a
lot of before work.
Right.
So what if you started writing love letters to your daughter about your mother?
Wow.
And, you know, even like before she's born, you know, something about whatever you like. I mean, you're an expressive person.
Funny stories. Oh, my gosh.
And every once in a while, sprinkle it with, you know, I don't know what you'll end up calling her, but I'm just sitting here by myself and remembering what your grandma would have said about today.
Right.
And just, like, keep those little letters coming to her. Maybe one a month.
Right.
Or maybe when you're just sitting there thinking of something and she's napping and you can't wake her, you just write it down, put it in an envelope, address it to her, and mail it. And then keep all those letters unopened.
Wow.
Until she's old enough to find them as her treasure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Would you?
Yeah, I definitely want to. There's always a little fear in the back of my head that I'm going to get what my mom had. And so, some of it is genetic, some of it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor said, you know, Lexi, you don't have it, it's okay. But, you know, just doing something like that would give me some kind of,
yes,
you know, hope and relief that,
yes,
you know,
yes,
it's just in case she can have that. I think that's a wonderful
idea. Well,
I'm thinking,
you know, first of all, how old was your mother when she died?
She was about, you know what, she was born in 47, so
oh,
I would say she's
okay,
about 65, I
okay,
guess, you know, I'm so bad with these.
That's all right.
She's pretty young.
But I'm thinking your daughter will open these when she's probably 8.
Yes.
And you'll...
That's true.
You know, I mean...
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea. I'm going to do that.
Good, I'm glad.
Thank you so much.
And also, when you talk about letters and photographs, we have letters from people that are like 400 years old. I have some myself.
Oh,
that,
really?
That I've, you know, in a kind of a collection.
Uh-huh.
And like 120 years old, and they look like they've been written yesterday.
Wow.
They last longer than any other record of your being here.
Wow.
Photographs go, they
mm-hmm.
fade.
Right, right.
You know, eventually. Letters don't seem to, but mm-hmm. you have to use indelible ink on really strong, good paper.
Okay.
Because I wrote, oh, I was so embarrassed. I wrote a letter to my granddaughter before she was born. And,
oh, my
God. Yes. And her mother opened it the other day and called and said, I opened the envelope. There's nothing on the paper. It faded.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm always telling people indelible ink, and I didn't.
Wow. Are you able to kind of go over it with the pencil to see if it's still? No.
But anyway, the point is, so, you know, you want to make it last.
Okay.
Who else would you write love letters to?
You know what? I definitely would write a love letter to my dad. My dad is one of the strongest men I know.
Oh, and he's here.
Yeah. Yes, he's still here.
So he'll have the joy of getting it.
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
You know, I would tell him that he's stronger than he thinks he is. He's lost his, you know, brother, his sister, when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he fathered a son when he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, has gone through a lot in life. He was there. I'll never forget how he never left my mom's side to the very end.
So you'll say exactly those specific things in the letter.
For sure.
Because
I think
specifics
are
important.
Yeah, he needs to hear that, he needs to hear how strong he is,
yes,
and how much I admire him.
And I think what the gift of that is,
mm-hmm.
that you were paying attention.
Of course.
Parents really need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very easy to think, you know, my lessons fell somewhere.
Right.
Or they didn't get noticed. But I want to tell you that more often than not, the reaction to those letters is, I didn't know you remembered that about me.
Yeah.
I didn't know you remembered. I didn't know you knew that about
right.
me.
I didn't know you observed or you
exactly.
know that meant a lot to you.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. Little things.
That's
you know.
Such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a gift.
It is. Just little things. Like he would know what my mom's favorite food was at mm-hmm. Jack in the Box. Then he would drive and get it for her. And of course, he didn't know that I was paying attention.
There you go.
But
the gift
course,
is I
yeah.
was paying attention. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I think kids are always paying attention. You know, it's just that how the parents treat each other is such a big influence in their life. You know?
Sure.
For sure.
Now, have you gotten letters?
I have not. I have not gotten letters.
Because of the generational
thing? I believe so. I've gotten texts.
Right.
I've gotten. But you know what's so great is that my husband is so good at expressing things.
Uh-huh.
My husband is so good at telling me, like, you know, you're so beautiful and I love you so much. He's so good at that. And I definitely think I would like to have him start writing it down.
Yes.
Because it'd be nice to kind of keep it. You know, he sends me cards and
stuff.
And
who else will that be nice for eventually?
Right?
Uh-huh.
Little Amy Rose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she will see what a legacy of love she came from.
Exactly.
That's a really good pedigree.
Yeah,
for
it
when
is.
She's 80.
True. Yes. That's true. I came across my dad. He wrote, a couple of poems when he was in college and in high school. And I came across it and it was so neat. It was like, oh my gosh, these are love letters that
yes.
my dad
yes.
has written for somebody else, you
yes.
know, before you met my mom. And
mm-hmm.
it was really cool to see that. It was like, oh my gosh, my dad was this young little romantic boy, you know.
Nice.
And so, yeah. Well,
to have proof of that is wonderful.
I know. Even his writing has changed.
Oh.
Isn't that
interesting?
Yeah.
The actual quality of it or just it got frailer?
the quality of it.
Oh, okay.
And I think a lot of it has to do with technology. I used to write cursive, and now because of the computers and texting and everything, it's just, I kind of forget.
You lost it?
Yeah, I kind of forget how to write cursive.
Oh, good. So this will be a nice opportunity for you to recapture that talent.
Right?
Yes.
Or sometimes it's like it's slow because you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I haven't done this in years.
Oh, so it's like good exercise using...
Yes, I used to have kind of like a bump on my finger from writing
of
so much,
of course.
And not anymore. You just type it, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that never goes away.
You get, well, you got to practice. Yeah. Anything goes away if you don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
What about, you get emails? I mean, yes, emails that are kind of love letters from?
I do. You know what? Now that I think about it, I used to work for an organization called the Disability Awareness Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And I would go to elementary schools and talk to children.
Oh,
about
okay.
What's it like being deaf? What's it like having a disability?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes their teachers would make them write thank you letters.
Oh, good.
And so I keep them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I have them. And they have funny little drawings and like, you know, thank you, Lexi.
Okay.
And
so all then this you stuff. Do so have that experience.
That was, yeah, that makes me feel better that I've gotten some kind of letter in my life.
And,
but yeah.
and your daughter will be able to see those someday and knows, oh, this is all so delicious.
Was, you know, my mom was a mentor or something,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Which is great. You know, for somebody to have a role model, for a kid to have a role model these days, it's amazing. But for a kid to have a role model of somebody who has a disability.
Sure.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, I have a feeling that there are a lot of people who have disabilities who are role models that maybe you just don't know about.
Yes.
Because
just by living their life.
And by living it beautifully.
Yes.
It's always a role model.
Mm-hmm.
I had one other thought, which has just flown out of my head. But having to do with, on the email, I think it's so worth it that if you get, because you won't be able to read whatever's on your email in another 20 years. We'll be writing some light beam and there'll be no
Right. It'll
be
telepathic or something.
Something.
Yeah.
To print it out on really good paper and stick it in a treasure box. Just leave a trail of yourself.
Right. I know.
Okay.
I know. I had these pieces of paper that when I was younger, I used to love listening to music. I still do.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom would write out the lyrics to the songs for me. And I saved those.
Okay.
So all those old 80s songs.
So
you know,
everything
like,
with her handwriting is just a treasure.
Yes, it is. It is. And I love that we're naming our little girl Elaine, but we're going to call her Lainey for short. And it's an L. And I used to love how my mom wrote L's, like my name, Lexi.
Yes.
So she would do L's really pretty. So now I'm like, yay, I get to do an L for Lainey. So it's just that kind of come full circle.
This is so nice. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome.
Me.
I love this. This is great.
You know, if you like, in time to come, when we can be together again, if you want to do another one about raising a daughter.
I would love that.
I would love you too. So I'm going to invite you to come back.
Oh, please.
Anytime you can,
please.
That you feel up to it.
Of
and
course.
Thank you again. And I want everybody to remember, as I always say, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
True.
And it's life-changing. You get to bathe in the positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a day at the heart spa.
That's true.
You know, it's an opportunity that is just good for you and a gift to the person who hears from you forever. So thank you, darling.
Oh, thank
this
you.
This is Janet Gallen and Lexi Marmon
yes,
saying
Lexi Marmon.
Goodbye.